Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
I want to talk about contentment today. As the Lord's been stirring this in my heart a little bit, and maybe it's something that you need to hear as well. And I just thought maybe the Lord could kind of use this particular subject to help us kind of find that place of meaning and contentment. I heard a story about an airline pilot who was flying over the Tennessee Mountains, and he pointed out the lake below to his co-pilot. And he said, "See that lake down there?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "When I was a kid, I used to sit in a rowboat down there fishing all day long. And every time a plane flew by, I thought to myself, man, I wish I was up there flying. Now I look down and wish I was fishing." Always perspective, right? Always wishing for something else. Always thinking that if I had this, if I was doing that or doing that, it might bring contentment. Contentment can be an elusive pursuit. We go after what we think will make us happy, only to find that it didn't work. In fact, we were often happier before we started the pursuit, always thinking, I got to try this, I got to try that. Reminds me of the rich entrepreneur who encountered a fisherman one day just soaking in the sunshine. And the entrepreneur asked the fisherman, he said, "What are you doing? Why aren't you out fishing?" He said, "Well, because I've caught all that I need for today." "Well, why don't you go out and catch some more, make some more profit, buy a bigger boat, and bring on some more people, bring on some more staff, and expand your business, become more and more wealthy, and then you could just sit around and watch the sunsets." And he said, "What do you think I'm doing right now?" It was this idea, if we just had more and more and more, we would be content, and we would find meaning. It's that the grass is greener on the other side. Have you ever had that kind of mindset that, okay, well, if I just had this, if I was just over there, then I would find contentment. Someone said the grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it, right? Where you water it. Find that place of contentment. Reminds me of two teardrops the story's told. They were floating down the river of life. One teardrop said to the other, "Who are you?" "I'm a teardrop from a girl who has loved a man and lost him." "Who are you?" The other teardrop replied, "I'm a teardrop from a girl who got him." Perspective, right? Oh, if I just had, I'd be content. Tears often flow when there is no contentment in our lives. And many people struggle with this idea of finding fulfillment because they don't have and haven't found true contentment. I want to look at a passage of Scripture this morning, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through verse 13. I'm going to read this out of the NIV version of the Bible, and then I also want to read it out of the Message as well. Paul writes, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. For I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." Eugene Peterson translates that like this: "Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with a little as with much, with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy." I like that. "I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty, whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am." The secret, the recipe for contentment or happiness. I was watching recently one of those HGTV shows where they come in and they give a house for someone who's in need. And this particular episode was about a homeless family. They had lost everything and needed a home, and they came in and bought them a home and did the reveal, bought an old home in town and fixed it up. And then the show kind of climaxed with this family getting to see their brand new home. They'd been homeless, and they're walking through the home. And while they were being given the tour, the husband kind of speaks out, and his response was interesting. This is what he said. Now I can finally be content. Now I can finally be content. Now, I hope that's true, but human history has some different data on that. Amen? Like if I just have a house, we're homeless, if we have a home, now I can be finally content. Well, the reality is that someday that house is going to be need some repairs, and some things are going to be need to be replaced, and there's going to be some things that occupy, and it may not be the final contentment that he was looking for. Charles Spurgeon said this, if we are not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. If we're not content with what we have, something, if I had more, if I just had this, if I just had this extra increase in salary, if I just had this extra car or this extra hobby or whatever it is, if we're not happy with what we have right now, we would never be content if it were doubled. Jeremiah Burroughs said this, to be well skilled in the mystery of Christian contentment is the duty, the glory, and the excellence of being a Christian, of what it is to be a Christian, contentment. So what is it? What is contentment? We hear a lot about it. Paul says, I found the secret, or I found the recipe of contentment. So what is contentment? We can't know if we have it if we don't know what it is. Well, the Greek word for contentment means having enough. It means being sufficient or contained. Biblical contentment is an inner peace and satisfaction that doesn't depend on our circumstances or even our possessions. It's the opposite of greed, it's the opposite of envy, and the opposite of covetousness. Contentment. Nancy Wilson writes this, contentment is a deep satisfaction in the will of God. I love that definition. A deep satisfaction within the will of God. If it's God's will, what God's provided, what God's allowed in my life, contentment is being deeply satisfied with being in the center of God's will. Nancy Lee DeMoss writes, contentment is just the realization that God has already provided me today all that I need for my present peace and for my personal happiness. It's that God's provided for me just what I need today. As I was thinking about this subject, I wrote this little note down. Contentment is when our wants are contained in Christ. True contentment is when our wants are contained in Christ. That's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those who have found true contentment and the secret of and the recipe for true happiness is they have found that place where they're not in want. They're satisfied with the deep things of God. Sinclair Ferguson wrote this, Christian contentment, therefore, is the direct fruit of having no higher ambition than to belong to the Lord and to be totally at his disposal in the place he appoints, at the time he chooses, with the provision he is pleased to make. True contentment. And Priscilla Shire says this, contentment is the equilibrium between the enjoyment of life now and the anticipation of what is to come. Contentment. So I ask you the question this morning, do you know what the secret or the secret recipe is of contentment? Well, I think there's a couple things we can learn in this passage of Scripture that might be a help to us as we try to understand if we're found the place of contentment. Look at a couple things that Paul teaches us in this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4. What can we learn in this passage of Scripture? Number one, contentment is a personal pursuit. Contentment is a personal pursuit. Verse 11 and verse 12, Paul says, I have learned. I have. It's a personal pursuit. Twice in verse 11 and verse 12, Paul says, I have discovered. I have learned. I have found. It's been a personal pursuit for the Apostle Paul. And I imagine as you find and read his pedigree, there was a time in his life where he was always searching for, if I just had this, if I had this credential, if I had this in my life, then I would truly be truly happy. But he pursued all those types of things, but where he really truly found happiness was when he found the person of Jesus Christ and he had an encounter with him on the road to Emmaus. And he began to speak. He talks about being in times in his life where he had had everything and he had nothing, and he found this personal secret of contentment was a personal journey. One of the things I've discovered is that it's something that each of us are on and at different stages in that personal pursuit of that journey. Where you're at today may not be where the person sitting next to you is at, or maybe your spouse or your loved ones are at, and they may be farther ahead than you are, but it's a personal journey that all of us have to get to where we find that place where I'm on that journey to find contentment, true contentment, the secret of contentment. The word have means to possess by way of experience or possess an understanding. He says, I have. I mean, he's come to this understanding personally of what it means to find happiness. James chapter 1, verse 2 in the Amplified Bible, it describes this struggle. You are jealous and covet with what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war, and you do not have because you do not ask. We have this struggle that goes on in this personal pursuit of finding true contentment and true happiness. If I had what they had, and we're always looking around, remember that we found out that in the true meaning of the word contentment, it's the opposite of envy. It's the opposite of covetousness. And we're always looking around and seeing what the newest thing that someone else has. We're always trying to match that and trying to find contentment. Number one, contentment is a personal pursuit. Number two, contentment is an attitude that is learned. He says, I have, there's the personal nature of the pursuit, I have learned twice in verse 11 and verse 12 again. For I have learned to be content. Paul repeats this twice. To learn in this sense here, in the Greek here, means to learn by use and or by practice. So by putting this into, he's going through this pursuit and he's learning. He's had everything, he's had nothing. And what he's learned is how to be content, not based on what's going well or what's not going well, but just finding that place of contentment. I've learned. It means to be in the habit of or accustomed to. Paul had learned this habit of just whatever happens in life to be content. The word learned also means initiated. Paul learned a lot through his initiation of happiness. I don't think that this is a personal pursuit that just happens on its own. You don't just one day wake up and go, you know what? I've learned contentment. We pursue this. It's a personal pursuit, and we learn and we struggle and we study. And we try to find that place. It's a place of study. Contentment doesn't come from something you earn, but something you learn. You see, many times we're just thinking, okay, if I just had more, then we buy into the world system that everything would be fine. John Kerson said this, we either learn to be content with our lives or we will quickly learn to be contempt in our lives. In other words, we've got to learn to find that true place of contentment. Joni Erickson Tada said this, contentment has an internal quietness of heart that gladly submits to God in all circumstances, whether good or whether bad. Contentment is an attitude that is learned. Third thing we learn is that contentment should be consistent. How many of you, if you were to chart out your state of contentment, it might look like your blood sugar level, right? Before or after a snack or before or after dinner, right? It just kind of jumps all over the page, and it's like our place of contentment. Well, I had a really great day today, so I'm very content. Or today wasn't so good. My contentment is very, very low. And yet what we're striving for in this life, the secret of contentment, is a consistency. Yeah, today was okay, but you know what? God is good. God was there. God was working, doing things, and the consistency that comes in contentment. Paul says, for I have learned, in verse 11, again in verse 12, I have learned to be content. I haven't learned what it was that I was content or that I hope to gain contentment. I've learned how to be content. He says, I've learned the secret of being content. If you were to graph this, you would see Paul's life would look oftentimes much different than ours. It's much more consistent. The word be means to remain or to continue. And contentment is a state, not a place. It means to content means to be satisfied, and that means to be consistent. Too many Christians treat contentment as a place where you vacation from time to time, like, okay, this is really good. We had this place of contentment. We were at the beach, and it was really, really a lot of fun. They don't treat contentment as a place where they live day in and day out. God's desire is that our driver's license is registered in the state of contentment. Do you realize that? Where do you live? In the state of contentment. Because we are to be content. Luke 3, verse 14, then some of the soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, "But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" And each of these scriptures, they're describing for us what we should do, and that is to be consistent, to be consistent in our contentment. Arthur Pink wrote, "Instead of complaining at his lot, a contented person is thankful that his condition and circumstances are no worse than they are. Instead of greedily desiring something more than the supply of his present need, he rejoices that God still cares for him. Such a person is content with such things as he has," as Hebrews 13:5 says. Number four, contentment is not based on circumstances. I have, there's the personal part of the journey, learned, it's an attitude that's learned, to be content, not whatever my circumstances. He goes on in verse 11 and verse 12, in every situation. Part of the usage of this Greek word here, content, means independent of external circumstances. Independent of external circumstances. So what Paul's saying, I've learned how to be content in whatever the circumstance. So it's independent of the good day, the bad day, the high provision, the low provision. Independent of all that, I found true contentment within my heart and soul. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, "Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I am quite content," Paul says, "with my weakness and with my insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." I think it's very interesting that he's describing these weakness and struggles and difficulties, and that's where he says, I'm quite content, because it's not based, being content is not based on our circumstances. Jeremiah Burroughs said this, "Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition." Contentment is not based on our circumstances. I was thinking this week of that great old hymn, "He Leadeth Me." The words go like this, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still is 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." The second verse goes like this, "Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me." The writer of this hymn understood what it was to be content in every circumstance, independent of those circumstances. Also reminded of that great hymn, "It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You see, it is not based on our present circumstances. The last thing I want you to understand about this idea of contentment is found in a person, not in possessions. If you're always scanning through Amazon for that deal of the day, if you're always on Facebook for the next marketplace discovery, you know, and all of us struggle with that, right? I do. I personally do. I mean, if I just had that around the house, that'd be great. That'd make my life so much better, right? But true contentment is found in a person, not a possession. Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in whatever circumstances. For I can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ. You see, it's interesting. The word content is a bit of satisfied. It's kind of an independent kind of thing. But what we really discover, the true contentment is not being self-satisfied or just saying, okay, this is enough, enough's enough, but being fully satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. Content means to be self-sufficient or satisfied. And Paul knew where his satisfaction came from. It wasn't himself. The same word content is translated sufficient in these two verses from Paul. It describes him as sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything of as ourselves, but our sufficiency, our dependence is from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. In other words, that you would find that place or that state of contentment. Henry Blackaby said, if our contentment comes from possessions and activities or other people, these can be altered or removed. If our contentment comes from a relationship with Christ Jesus, there is absolutely nothing that can take us away, because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. John Piper wrote, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied with Him. And the thing that takes us to a deeper, deeper experience in our relationship with God is when we stop finding our contentment in material possessions and we start putting our contentment in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews, back to Hebrews 13, verse 5, be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So the possessions will fail, they'll fall away every time. That new toy that you got that you think will just make you so happy, that new house or whatever it is, that you can finally find contentment, ultimately some struggle, some difficulty that goes along. Chuck Swindoll said, when Christ becomes our central focus, contentment replaces our anxiety as well as our fears and all of our insecurities. I want you to think about this thought. We either contend for more or we are content with what we have. Which word would better describe you right now? Contending for something else, something more, or content with what you have? So let's review. Contentment is a personal pursuit. I have is an attitude that is learned. I have learned. It's something that should be consistent. I have learned to be content. Number four, not based on circumstances. For I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances, whether full or whether empty. And it's found in a person of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Keep that in mind, right? As you're storing up the treasures of this world. We can take nothing with it, but if we have food and clothing, and we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Why? They couldn't find the place of contentment. Contentment's a healthy thing for us. Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, it's healthy to be content. It's healthy, but envy can eat you up. Proverbs 15, verse 15, the poor have a hard life, but being content is as good as an endless feast. Contentment is profitable. It's good for us. It's like the writer of Ecclesiastes said in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 6, he said, a man might live 1,000 years twice over, but not find contentment. Because it's not in the things that we possess or the things that we see. Let me close with this idea. Exodus chapter 2 is the story of Moses' life, how he was born and the setting in which he was born. And it's a really long story that kind of goes into a few words in Exodus chapter 2. And as you dig into the story, it kind of flies through a lot. There's a lot of things that aren't included in the story, but you kind of get the highlights. He's a kid, and then he kind of steps into the palace, and he one day he's out, and he sees a couple of his Egyptians, kind of Hebrews, are fighting one with another, and he steps in, thinks, oh, I'm kind of developed as a leader here, and I'm kind of, it's a great opportunity for me to exercise some opportunities here, and kind of maybe thinking some bigger and better things for himself. And he steps in, and all of a sudden it doesn't go the way he hopes it would, and he murders somebody. So he's on the run. He's a fugitive. He goes to the place of Midian, and there he meets his future wife and some others there at the well. And so he goes back home. He finds himself in Midian, probably not where he wanted to be, right? On the run, probably as he looked at his life as a young boy in the palace, he's probably thinking, hey, as I look ahead, wouldn't it be great if I'm in the desert of Midian someday? And I'm on the run, and everything is like not the way I thought it would be. But it says this, verse 21, then Moses was content to live with a man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in the desert thinking, man, if I was just back in Egypt, or if I was just here, if I was just where I feel like God's called me to do and to lead, if I was just there, and we find ourselves in the desert of Midian. Well, let me remind us that God has a purpose there. God has some provision there for us in the place of Midian. Moses was content to live in that place with God's provision at that moment in time. It wasn't where God left him, but it was where God had him at that moment. That word content here in the Hebrew, it means to agree to show willingness, to accept an invitation, to be resolved, to be pleased, and be determined. What if today, in our desert, we just were content? God, in this moment, in this season, in this challenge that I'm going through, I wish, I mean, maybe you're here, you're like Mike or George or whatever, and you're thinking to yourself, man, if wouldn't it be great if God just dumped $10 million in our lap today? It'd change everything, right? Could he do that? Yes. Has he? Not yet, as far as I know, in the mail. But has God provided just what we need for today? What if we were to choose to be content right where God has us, right for today? Paul says, for I have learned the secret recipe of being content. And how to be content in all circumstances, whether I have plenty or whether I have nothing, whether great provision or no provision, I have learned the secret. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I pray that you'd teach us to live in the state of contentment. And Lord, help us to be like Moses, to be content, resolved, to accept this invitation to lead right where we're at right now, today. And I pray that this message would be an encouragement to someone who's struggling in this area today. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.